Heavenly Father, for this time in your presence and for what we've heard, help us in this week to remember those things that are important to our growth in you that we've heard. We ask this in your name. Amen. I am constantly amazed in worship what God brings to us all, the gifts that people offer in terms of music, a word of encouragement, an exhortation, the beauty of music, it's wonderful. Someone brings a pastoral prayer for a newly engaged couple. It's just amazing what God brings. One of the things you probably notice every week is this beautiful corner over here. And it's a thing that reminds me of God's creativity and beauty. And thank you, Amita, for your gifts and bringing your gifts to our worship as well. If you'd like to turn with me to Psalm 33, we're going to be looking at Psalm 33 again. And we'll be looking at another thing that we were made for. This series has been called We Were Made for This. What do you suppose we were made for? Checking. To worship. Okay, great. Yeah, after five of these, I want to check in and make sure that we're all on the same page. We were made for worship. We were made for this. Psalm 33 tells us that we were made for this. So, if someone ever asks you, why do you go to worship? Why do you go to church on Sunday morning? Why bother? Then you have an answer. I was made to worship. God made me for this. And there are some other things that I think that are part of why we go to worship. But among those, we will find written in these final verses, would you read with me responsively the last portion of Psalm 33? From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all of its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death. We wait in hope for the Lord. In him our hearts rejoice. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. In one of the table prayers, we pray with our grandsons. It begins, God is great, God is good, and then, of course, let us thank him for our food. But this is one of those psalms that really follows that same theme. In, as we looked at this particular psalm, it begins with praise, expresses praise and thanks, and it gives reasons for praise and thanks. It starts with what you'd call imperatives. You're announced, you are called to praise in verses 1 through 3. And those are imperatives. Those calls to worship appear in the three words, rejoice, praise, and sing. And then following that are the reasons why we can praise God, God's goodness and God's greatness. The psalm is then rounded off with an affirmation of trust in God and an appeal to God. Let's look now at this last area, the care of God. We touched on this briefly. Just so that we can remember this section, I'd like to highlight a couple of things. First, that God is working on the macro level, that he sees all that is. He watches over us. Verse 10 says, "The Lord foils the plans of nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples." That is, God is bigger than what we think are some of our most powerful, expressions of power in our known world. Nations, for example, we think of as strong and powerful, but God is bigger than those. And he's big enough to actually correct nations. God chooses to do so. God can correct and change. He works for our good when it seems like our future is in someone else's hands. Verse 11. "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." There are many times when we don't feel like we have much control about what goes on in our lives. And in some respects, we may not. But there is this one who does, who has plans. The plans of the Lord stand forever. And he intends to enrich our lives when we give ourselves to him. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance." Now, I'd like you to think with me as we look at each of these stanzas. What would the praise, the fitting praise response be? As we think here, I don't want you to just check out on me. I want you to engage with me about what is the fitting response as I hear these truths about God. What's in my heart? And I'm going to pause briefly, and just briefly, and if there is something in your heart that you'd like to give in praise to God, please feel free to do so. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for an inheritance." What does God do? He tends real time on the micro level, not only working in terms of the nations and on the big picture, but also looking at you and me. "For from heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches over all who live on the earth." So God is working real time. It suggests God's intimate awareness of you. He can look at the nations and see everything that is. He can look in your heart. He sees what's going on in your life. Now, is there something in your heart that you'd like to lift to God? We are not alone. Thank you. God knows us intimately. He understands just what makes us tick. We're not alone. He sees our motives as well as our acts. He knows what we will think, what we will do, even before we do it. No wonder he can foil our plans when they are not good, and how he can direct us in right paths. God goes about teaching us both on this big level and then on the small level. He teaches us about misplaced trust or arrogance. "No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save." Throughout the Old Testament, the horse was seen as a symbol of strength and always an advantage point in battle over somebody on foot. It was the machine, the war machine, one of the ultimate ones in the Old Testament. And yet, people began to place their trust in, well, let's see, we have so many horses, and they have so many. Why? Israel doesn't have very many at all. Or we don't have very many at all, and they have many. And you see, from both directions, one can end up arrogant, and the other can end up impotent. And he begins to teach us about this mistrust faith. No king can help with the size of his army. God has prepared, however, other things for us if we will run to him and trust in him. He reveals his promise, presence, his protection, his love, and his provision. He teaches us about those things, working powerfully on the macro level, real time, teaching us on both levels, and then also helping us to find our way home. I'd like to look at that portion for just a moment. We wait in hope on the for the Lord. This is verse 20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. We can wait in hope on the Lord because help is always near. That's what I see in this verse. The Lord God is my strength and my shield, the psalmist says. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. That was so fun to hear about joy coming back after difficulty. It's a delight to experience joy. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusts in him. So we can wait in hope because help is always near in God. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of need. Secondly, we can wait in hope because God is our shield. This is repeated so often in Scripture. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Notice these words. The Lord is a warrior, and the Lord is his name. So interesting. See, we don't think much about in terms of combat imagery. But for people who feared for their very lives because of nations just a little ways away from them, this imagery was very appropriate. All that we have and could hope to have could suddenly be wiped away by those people who don't treat other people, other nations, very well. So the psalmist takes up this language. The Lord is my warrior. He's the one who stands between me and what oppresses. I don't know if you've thought about what oppresses you. Since we don't face physical terror here, what is it that is a terror to you? Have you thought in worship about this warrior, God, who is a warrior on your behalf, standing between you and what is a terror to you? That too is a wonderful image, I think. Not a fearsome one for you, but for what stands between you and the difficulty, what stands in front of you, the difficulties of our lives. The Lord is my strength and my song. He will become my salvation. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, it says this, and after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. So there's a promise of God's presence in the terms of being this warrior who holds a shield in front of Abraham. He does that for individuals. He does it for people. Psalm 84, verse 11 reads, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Or like in Psalm 91, verse 4, "He will cover you with his feathers," in the imagery of like a hen. "He will, and underneath his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." So what is it that stands between you and your difficulties? It is his faithfulness that stands between you and those difficulties. God as our shield is mentioned over 20 times in just the Psalms. So we have hope because of the one who's with us. We have one who shields us from what distresses us. Is there any response in your heart that you'd like to lift to God? Let's pray. Teach us, Lord, not just to wait, but to wait with hope in our hearts. We can wait because God is our shield. We can wait because there is a God whose great love cheers our hearts. Verse 21, in him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. He changes our difficulties into rejoicing. Turn, O Lord, the psalmist says, and deliver me, save me, because of your unfailing love. We can wait in hope because this is someone whose promises never fail. Verse 22, may your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. In Psalm 28, verse 7, it reads, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. We need to probably at times pray for a renewal of the sense of God's unfailing love, that we would understand that better and better, and pray for opportunities to return to the faithful love of God. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Writer catches our mood as we live out our days, I think. We face difficulties and struggles, but he encourages us to be strong and to take heart as those who hope in the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. Is there something that you'd like to offer in praise to him just now? Thank you. in closing, there are two thoughts that I'd like to share with you. It says in these verses that the eyes of the Lord are upon those who hope in him. Again, I suppose you could probably get tired of me telling grandson stories, but I have lots of them. And one of them is that they love to have me watch what they're doing. You've seen it. Watch me. Watch me. They redirect my attention to focus on what they're doing. They love the attention that I give them. Now, what's it like to be with someone who loves us much to watch as we like to be watched? God's dear heart, his faithful love, is constantly there for you and me. And he watches you with such love and such joy and such good intent for you. The second thing that I notice in the close of this psalm is how corporate it is. Let's read again. It's plural. It's not I, it's we. This would be another hint at why we come to worship. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. It is something that we learn to do here together. Trust begets trust as we meet with him. I'd like to invite our worship team come forward if you would, and also if you would just pass your friendship and worship cards to the center aisle, someone would be along to pick those up as well. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you've heard our prayers and we offer them to you. You are the delight of our lives. Thank you for being ever faithful and for transforming circumstances in our lives. Help us to not fail and fold and become weary from worry, but rather to hope in you. Be with us as we meet together to encourage our hope in you. Reveal yourself to us this next week so that we can come back sharing the hope that's in our heart and the joys of what you've done. Amen. You can stand with us as we finish with our final song.